It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45. At 2:30, why does June 1st matter? About Oscar the Grouch Day. In a mere minutes, we preview Longhorn Baseball's regional with Joe Cook of Inside Texas. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number three on the show. We will talk some Texas baseball coming up. We also mentioned that national championship in rowing, and our man Craig Way tells us that's 58, if you're counting, 58 national championships for Texas. So, yes, if you are a Longhorn fan and that 58th title in rowing doesn't quite feel the same as maybe some other, you know, other schools' titles might feel, I get it. If you got 58 of them to celebrate, I can understand that. As a fan of a school who only has around 9, 10, 11, somewhere in there, it's a big deal when you get those. We told you last week, Ole Miss just celebrated their fourth ever. They have three in football and now one in women's golf. That's it. So when you only have four, you're really going to celebrate a lot. But hey, when it's 58, you're just adding to that legacy. Congratulations to the rowing team. Got to light the tower for that one at some point. And got to still light the tower, I believe, for that women's tennis team who got the championship. So we've hit all of that. Also, I didn't mention it in the crap bag earlier, but just a quick reminder for you fans that enjoyed the Mike Tyson documentary last week. Part two is tonight. Mike Tyson, ABC, 7 o'clock. And this is the one where Mike speaks from now, like not just the old footage, but Mike actually sits down for an interview. So that will be tonight on ABC. All right, let's talk some Texas baseball. They're pretty darn good. In fact, they are number two overall seed in this tournament. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. We normally talk to him on Mondays, but of course we didn't have a show yesterday. So let's talk to him today. It's Joe Cook of Inside Texas. Go to InsideTexas.com. He's at JosephCook89 on Twitter, and he's definitely ready for some baseball postseason. Joe, how are you?
Doing great, guys. Thanks again for having me on.
Oh, I love a good bracket, and it's always good to see really any sport lay out 64 teams and then say, let's play. Texas fans are excited, I know, because they are the number two overall seed. Give me a sense for this overall seeding. We knew they were going to be a top eight. Were you a little surprised that it went all the way to number two, or is that what you predicted?
A little bit. I've kind of held that, you know, Arkansas is the clear number one team this year, and I think that a lot of people would think Vanderbilt is right behind them at number two. But I think they're also deserving of that number two overall seed. And again, the Big 12 was the number two RPI conference. They had three national seeds with Tech, TCU, and Texas, and Texas took home the Big 12 regular season title. So it's not too much of a surprise that they were in the top four, in my opinion, if you saw they released those early. But I was a little bit surprised that they were number two. I thought they'd be number three or number four, maybe not number two. But you know, either way, that helps out and bounces them up with, should they make it out of the regional, the number 15 team, which is Florida. And, of course, all these teams are good. They made the NCAA tournament. They wouldn't be there if they weren't. So, but I think that, to answer the original question, that's a it was a little bit higher than I thought it would be, but it's in the right neighborhood.
Is there any cause for concern with this Texas baseball team right now, Joe, based on what you saw at the Big 12 tournament over the weekend?
Well, of course, the bats that they brought to Oklahoma City are not going to get them to Omaha. There's just no way that they can continue to struggle at the plate like they did against some of the better arms in the conference. And that's one reason why. I mean, Jackson Wolf was one of the better pitchers in the Big 12 this year, and Wyatt Olds of Oklahoma was probably one of their best pitchers as well. But you're going to be facing those guys throughout the course of the NCAA tournament. You may not see them against Southern, and maybe even not against Fairfield. Arizona State had some good pitching, but that's a ballpark that out in Tempe that messes with statistics. So the thing is, you know, if you're going to be facing NCAA tournament-style pitching, you're going to have to be ready for it. I think they'll be able to make those improvements because, I know a lot of people want to look at the most recent results, and, of course, that is valid. But, I mean, also just look at the course of the whole year. They've managed to do decently well against solid pitching, and at the same time, you know, they're still really good on defense and have a really good staff in their own right. So, The thing you want to see definitely is that they kick whatever the bug that got them in Oklahoma City that took away their bats. But I don't think it's a huge cause for concern because, like we opened this segment with, they're the number two team in the country for a reason.
Talking about Joe Cook of Inside Texas. So, Joe, the normal thinking can sometimes change when you go into these regional series, depending on who your number four seed is. If you're the one, do you want to rearrange your pitching as you've looked at it and look at what Southern is bringing? And then you mentioned Arizona State a little bit, and, of course, Fairfield is coming in as well. If you're David Pierce, do you just duck your head, hand the ball to Ty Madden, and do what you do? Or should there be serious discussion about maybe holding Ty Madden and going with maybe Tristan Stevens for the Southern game?
You know, here's the thing, is that Southern is not a very good baseball team. They kind of caught fire at the end of the year, won the SWAC tournament. But entering the SWAC tournament, I think they were 16-28. So, you'd like to think that the staff that the number two team in the country has, you know, any of their regular starters would be able to go ahead and take care of business. The other thing that's a little bit interesting is that if you remember in 2018, David Pierce pitched, I think, Chase Schubert first in that game against Texas Southern, and that's because at the time he had mentioned that Chase had the ability to, you know, if he needed to bounce back and come back on Monday, that he could go ahead and be able to pitch on that short rest. I don't think Ty Madden's the type of person that would be doing that. I don't think he would want to. I don't think the staff sees him that way. He's a guy that, you know, when he pitches, and then he pitches next week. You're not going to be coming back pitching in 4 days. Tristan Stevens, however, he, you know, was a reliever before this season, and they have a increased ability to bounce back. So, and the other thing was David Pierce didn't reveal yesterday who he was going to start. You know, personally, I lean toward letting Ty Madden take that second game. But at the same time, I'm just not sure who you go with in game one. Do you go Keith Hansen? Do you go Tristan Stevens? I don't like the idea of Colby Kubicek because even though, like I mentioned, Southern isn't a great team, Colby Kubicek has not pitched, you know, very great in these past few weeks. So, you know, if I were filling out the lineup card, I might go ahead and throw Tristan Stevens in there. So, it, you know, just in case you needed him on Monday, and I don't think they will, but just in case, maybe he could be that guy like Schubert in 18 to kind of bounce back and pitch again a couple days later.
So if the Longhorns do get out of this region, and we already know you kind of alluded to it, they match up with that Florida Super Regional. To get a little extra baseball nerdy, a lot of times when we line up these brackets, it is about taking the overall top seeds, and the committee's got to think about maybe not being nice to them, but setting up certain things for them. Do you think they set up an extra hard Super Regional for Texas? Should it have been Florida in your mind at that 15 seed, or one of these other, or should it have been one of these other teams? Should it have been, I don't know, Oregon or East Carolina or something like that? Is Florida the team that you feel should have been at 15?
To be honest, I haven't paid close enough attention to the SEC baseball-wise to have a feel for that, but I also did realize that, you know, based off their record and based off what the SEC is as a baseball conference, and of course they're going to be one of the top 16 teams in the country. And if you're one of the, you know, if you're one of the top 16 teams in the country, you're going to be good. So whoever you're facing is going to be a challenge. I don't think there's anything wrong with not only the teams in the regional that they sent to Austin, but that super regional that they paired him with Florida. I think that's a fair one. I really don't think there's much room for complaining because I'll make the point again. You know, these are the best teams in the country. It's always going to be tough when you reach this point, and none of them are going to be gimmies. So, no, I have no problem with the way that they paired him up. And I think, you know, all things considered, it wasn't a bad pairing for the Longhorns.
So, Joe, at one point in the season, we were talking to you about, you know, trying to figure out who the best teams were in the Big 12. Obviously, TCU was in that discussion. Texas Tech was in that discussion. Texas was in the discussion. There was a little bit of time. Maybe there was someone else in there. But those three are the ones that make this tournament. Give me a sense for Texas Tech and TCU. Based on how they've been set up, they're just like Texas in that if they keep winning, they can host all the way, all the way to Omaha. What are the chances that those two teams can do that?
You know, I was surprised that the Big 12 got three national seeds. I thought there would be somebody on the outside looking in, but I guess the committee felt differently. I thought personally that Notre Dame or the Texas Tech regional probably should have gone to Notre Dame. But I mean, the thing with Texas Tech is they're in their home ballpark, and I'm blanking on who exactly is in their regional, but. They hit well at their own place. They always have. That's what Tim Tadlock does. That's how Tech, you know, does so well. And they also have players like Chase Young who just, you know, crush the ball on a consistent basis. So I think they have a really good chance of making it out of there and making it to Nebraska. TCU, despite going and winning the Big 12 tournament, you know, they've just been so volatile lately. I mean, dropping 2-3 to Kansas State, basically dropping the Texas series. They've been so up and down, it's hard to know if they're going to be able to go on a run like they did in Oklahoma City or just go out really quickly. So of TCU and Tech, I really think that Tech has the better chance between those two. I'm really confident in Texas making it out of the regional round because Fairfield's a great story. Being an at-large selection out of a mid-major conference. But, you know, they barely faced anybody. A lot of the teams Mid-American Athletic Conference, very, very poorly ranked within the RPI. They don't have a single quad-1 win, whereas every single Big 12 team was within, I think, the top 120, maybe even the top 100 of RPI. So, and then Arizona State, that's going to be the most – formidable matchup, I think, and I think Texas can handle it. So I think you'll see Texas in the super regional round. Honestly, I do think they make it to Omaha, but that's, you know, considering that you have to consider that Florida, like I mentioned, still a good team, and they have to take care of business, and they have to play the games.
Yeah, when you mentioned what's in everybody's region, TCU having Dallas Baptist in their region, that may prove to be the toughest opponent. Tech has Army, North Carolina, UCLA, but for TCU to have Dallas Baptist in there along with McNeese and Oregon State, that could be tough. So four total teams from the state obviously get in, but it was three out of the Big 12 that are inside the state. Oklahoma State also in as well into the tournament. Talking with Joe Cook of Inside Texas. Remember, the Longhorns get started Friday at 1 is when that game with Southern will occur, and we'll have it for you right here on the Horn. All right, Joe, now that we're into to June, then that means the doors swing open for official visits, right? We're getting back to like normal college recruiting. Kids can actually go to campuses and, you know, walk around and look at buildings and meet coaches.
Oh, yeah, it's really exciting. And that's the most important part. They were going and visiting school. They were going to all these different places, but they weren't meeting coaches. If you remember back in December, when Tom Herman was still head coach, he mentioned that the California defensive back and early enrollee they had, Jameer Johnson, whenever he enrolled, that'd be the first time they ever get to meet in person. And Tom Herman never met Jameer Johnson in person. Steve Sarkisian was the first coach at Texas that he met. So, yeah, I'm really excited for all these visits. It's going to be a packed month, packed rest of the year recruiting. It never does stop, but it's nice that it's going to be back to normal. And I think you even saw a few schools right when it turned midnight Eastern, they went ahead and opened the doors. I think Florida State was one. I think Miami is having stuff today. So it's kind of like midnight madness for basketball. As soon as the permissible period starts, you know, they hit the ground running, and a few programs already took advantage of that.
Who is coming into Austin this weekend?
One of the biggest names coming in this weekend, and he actually rescheduled his visit, is a California linebacker named Junior Tui Halamaka, I believe is how it goes. He is a linebacker from Bishop Alemany in the L.A. area. He's kind of an old school linebacker, kind of middle linebacker type. Maybe not the fleetest of feet out in the space, but still a good athlete. I think he was once a USC commit, and it's between Texas and Notre Dame seem to be the two horses out in front for his services. I think the Irish may have a little bit better chance right now, but Texas is going to get the first opportunity to talk to him this week. I need to double check who else is coming, but of course you go to Inside Texas. You know, with all the news happening this week with camps and official visitors, and then next week's camps and next week's official visitors, we'll have all that over there on Inside Texas for sure.
Hey, Joe, speaking of linebackers, looks like you posted to Inside Texas not that long ago that Delia Deaway withdrew his name from the transfer portal. Does this mean he's going to be a Longhorn in 2021?
It's not quite clear yet. So if you go in the portal, your status is active. That means, hey, you know, I'm trying to leave my school and, you know, contact me. You can also be matriculated, which means that you've moved on. So, for instance, Keontae Ingram, Dr. Davian offered, Malcolm Epps, those guys listed as matriculated. Or you can withdraw. You say withdraw on and take your portal application out. And that's what Delia Deaway did today. We learned that at InsideTexasAL.com. Put it up there first. It just means he's not trying to transfer right now, but it doesn't exactly mean that he's going to be back on the team. It's unclear, honestly, right now, whether that means he's going to be playing football for Texas this upcoming season or not. He's not on the official roster right now. And early enrollee linebacker DJ Harris also took his number 40. So it means he's not going anywhere, at least right now. But that doesn't mean he necessarily mean, at least today on Tuesday, that he has his locker and all that stuff back.
It's not a good omen when they've given your number away already. All right, Joe, last question for this week. And I'm curious to get your thoughts on this because you are somebody who is standing at postgame pressers talking to coaches and players, win or lose. Naomi Osaka has obviously made headlines recently with what's gone down surrounding the French Open and her desire not to talk to media after matches. She ends up getting fined $15,000 after her first match and subsequently withdraws from the tournament from there. Do you think ultimately athletes should be allowed to opt out of postgame press conferences?
You know, I think they should be allowed to, but I also think that it doesn't shield them from criticism. You know, a good thing about being able to speak with the media is you're able to relate your viewpoint, and whether that's it's a viewpoint that people agree with or disagree with or anything like that, it still allows you to say your thoughts on the subject. And of course, with social media and a lot of personal branding, like as we've seen with LeBron and Kevin Durant, they try to, in the Players Tribune, they kind of try to take out the middleman and let them say it their own way without any filter. Of course, for Naomi Osaka, the primary thing should be making sure that she's okay, getting whatever help she needs in order to overcome those mental stress issues, that type of thing. But I do kind of wonder, guys, you have aspects of your job that you probably don't like for as much fun as you have, but you still got to do it. And I do wonder if that's something that, do we let that slide for a lot of different things? And of course, you have to take all the mental health aspect of it seriously. But there's parts of everybody's job that they don't necessarily like and that they don't necessarily want to do every day. And that takes a toll on their head. You still got to, sometimes you still have to do them. Of course, I think there has to be some lenience, and obviously context matters in all this stuff. But going back to the original point, selfishly as a media person, I'm always going to be like, come talk to me. Because if you're doing your job right and do things the right way, you're not out to get anybody. You're just trying to tell the whole story. And, a first-person account definitely helps tell the whole story. So, primarily, you got to make sure that she's okay. Her mental well-being is good, and it's sad for tennis and kind of sad for tennis media, it seems like, who have taken their frustration out on her. But at the same time, There's a lot of stuff that sometimes, you know, it's out of your control that you have to grin and bear through. You know, sometimes you can just say, I'm here so I don't get fined. And, you know, you didn't get fined. You didn't do that much, but you got through it. So, I don't know. It's really complex, and I go back and forth on this a lot because I don't want it to, you know, extend way too far into, you know, other areas of media. I mean, high school kids already are saying no interviews when they're going to different colleges and stuff like that on recruiting trips. So I don't know. But I would think that, you know, to better paint pictures of, you know, media and events, it's always good to have a first-person account from the people who are actually involved.
That is Joe Cook of Inside Texas. Check out InsideTexas.com at JosephCook89 on Twitter. We squeezed him in on Tuesday. Normally we talk to him on Monday, but of course we had the day off yesterday, as we hope all of you did. Joe, we appreciate it, man. Look forward to that tournament getting started, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe.
Overall, number 2 seed for those Texas Longhorns. Some interesting comments there on the media side of things, the media and the athletes. Also, it should be pointed out, Naomi Osaka, in her latest comments, she apologized to who she called. I can't remember if she called them cool or good, or she apologized to media members that may have been hurt by what she said or may have been affected by what she said. She comes across, to me at least, as a really thoughtful human being. I don't think she's trying to do anything evil here. She actually took the time, Trey, to mention the media members in her comments. That's not what it's about to her. She's trying to work through all these things. So this isn't just about some principle of media to her. She gets waves of anxiety, is how she described it. And she's just trying to figure out how to not have that.
Okay, good luck with her.
Yeah,
with that.
I know. And Joe brings up a good point. We all have parts of our job that we don't like. Are there parts of our job that create mental health issues, depression, anxiety? And if there is, doesn't your employer have some, hopefully they'll have the level of respect to discuss that with you. Hey, when I go into these meetings or when I do this presentation, like, it freaks me out. You watch me, I start sweating up there, man. What am I supposed to do? Shouldn't they work with you on that? Or I guess it depends on how important you are to the company at that point.
You know, it's interesting. We've heard two different viewpoints on this today, because Jeff Ward is like, it's kind of what you sign up for in entering this world, is having to go through these sorts of things. And I do agree with that. But as Joe Cook said, and somebody who is actually reliant on people's willingness to talk post-game, win or lose, to say, yeah, you know, it kind of does matter on the individual. And if somebody really is going through something, then maybe they should be given a pass. But he also says that concerned that some sort of Pandora's box is going to be opened if it's allowed to happen too much. I feel like you should be going through with these things in post-game. But perhaps there are the rare exceptions where we can try and be human beings to other human beings and be a little bit understanding in a moment. Say, look, Naomi, this can't be something that is just the way that it is for you going forward. It is part of the job. But for right now, if you need to not have to worry about this as much, let's figure out a different way to go about it. Maybe it's having a smaller group of reporters, or have it in a different space, or have it more open in terms of like where you're sitting answering questions. There had to be some solution here, other than the number 2 player in the world quitting the tournament.
Yeah, is it this piece of technology everybody's now familiar with? What if it's Zoom?
Maybe. That is absolutely something worth exploring. You're right.
Is Zoom more comfortable? That's how all the NBA guys are doing it now. Is it she gets back to her hotel room and they email her 25 questions? Each member of the media gets one question, and then she responds, or someone responds for her. I mean, hopefully they can figure out some of this. On one hand, you shouldn't have special stuff just for one athlete. But when you're an individual sport like that and she's that big a deal, you might want to think about it. I mean, you just might. Like, the New Orleans Saints had to figure out a way for Ricky Williams to be interviewed.
Yeah.
So they let him wear the helmet or whatever. If the backup guard had wanted to do that, it wouldn't have mattered.
Wasn't it Jimmy Johnson that said, my star players have a different set of rules from the scrubs?
Exactly. Yeah, deep down, I'm wondering if Naomi Osaka ended up kind of calling the Grand Slams bluff, because the leaders of the Grand Slams today are now saying, oh, yeah, no, now we're concerned. We'll address this. Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk to her about it. Oh, really? Because you were threatening to kick her out of your tournament a couple days ago. You thought you'd scare her away? Well, you pushed her away, and now you might want to double-check that. All right, thanks to Joe Cook for his time. Up next, we're into June, so we'll tell you why June 1st matters, but also grab a little bit of the weekend, possibly, as we just had a nice long weekend. We hope you did as well. Stems and Seeds before we get out of here. Another national title for the Longhorns, and that baseball team getting ready for, they hope, another run to Omaha. We'll get you set up for all of it coming up on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Go. Going all the way back to Lady in Red. Trey's going a long way for the podcast bit today. Lady in Red is it Eric Carmen?
Chris DeBerg.
Damn it. Chris DeBerg.
I would not have been able to tell you that had I not just read it.
Obviously, Eric Carmen would be something else. Okay, Lady in Red, Trey, tell him why.
The word is red. When you think of color red, sometimes you might think of China. That is the topic of today's new podcast episode. Books on Pod, booksonpod.com. The author is Josh Rogan. He is a Washington Post foreign policy correspondent and CNN political analyst, and the author of the new book, Chaos Under Heaven. It is all about China's pretty concerted attempt to take over the world and how America is allowing it to happen, oftentimes kowtowing in the process. The book is very important for you to check out. I think the chat is pretty good as well. Check it out at booksonpod.com.
So, that's an incredible song, by the way, from back in the day. That takes me way back, Lady in Red.
Here's that song.
God, that's got to be 80, I'm going to say like 84, 85?
Let's see.
Now, if that's Chris DeBerg, I think that's the same guy that sang Don't Pay the Ferryman, which I always loved.
It is.
Same guy?
Same guy.
Oh, I love Don't Pay the Ferryman.
So Into the Light was the album that Lady in Red was on.
Okay.
1986.
86. All right, I was a year off. Yeah, when I was a little kid, they made that weird, spooky video where they had the ferryman, and it was Don't Pay the Ferryman until he gets you to the other side. And back then, they just made the video lay right on top of the song because they thought we were all stupid and we couldn't deal with the concept. So they just laid it right on top. God, I love that. All right, so check out that podcast, booksonpod.com. We thank Joe Cook and Jeff Ward for jumping on with us today. Kind of a special Tuesday since we didn't have a Monday show. We compacted things a little bit. And just like right now, we're going to compact some things. It is the 1st of June, but we'll hit a little bit of the weekend too. Why today matters. Here we go.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
There's a few ways we could start here, Trey, but why don't we start with the old guy still rolling. How about Clint Eastwood? He turned 91 yesterday.
Wow.
As far as I know, I'm sure he's got like three movies in the planning stages as a director. He's been directing movies these last few years. It's not like Clint is just some random dude that stumbles onto the set at 90.
Well, unless you're talking about a golf tournament, and then it is a bit of a stumbles onto the set, saying things that aren't always coherent.
Maybe true.
But he's still getting it done.
He is.
In movies, occasionally appearing in them still, but also directing. I don't know if he does a whole lot of writing, but man, Clint is one of the all-timers.
To let you know how old Clint Eastwood is, Clint Eastwood is 4 years younger than Marilyn Monroe would be if she was alive today.
Wow.
Marilyn would be 95 if she was alive today. Died back in 1962.
Do you have a favorite Clint Eastwood movie?
Oh, for me, I didn't really get into the Dirty Harry run. So
me neither.
I'm going to say Unforgiven.
That's a good choice.
If I had to pick my favorite Clint Eastwood, I've seen him in some good things. He's really good with Kevin Costner in A Perfect World. It's kind of a different type of Clint Eastwood, but I dig that one. I've never seen the spaghetti westerns all the way through. I know. And I've never seen any Dirty Harry all the way through, and I understand what that means too. So of what I've seen, I'm going to go with those two. But Unforgiven is probably the best. He is a badass in Unforgiven. Gene Hackman's great. The whole cast is wonderful. And that's a solid Western. More, you know, modern, during my life kind of Western.
Million Dollar Baby was another really good one. I think that won him some awards.
I like the baseball one where he was a scout. Trouble with the Curve.
Yes.
That actually ended up being a pretty good movie.
Gran Torino, also a really good flick.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. I didn't like him in certain ways in that movie.
Oh, he played a terrible character.
I fought him a lot mentally, but yeah, he was good in that. I've recorded The Mule and still haven't watched it with him and Bradley Cooper.
I've heard that one's it's a little bit grueling.
No, okay.
Like right. It's just boring.
I haven't hit play yet. I mean, I've had it for a year or so on the DVR, haven't hit play.
Try it out and let me know.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
I'll give it a watch.
Clint's obviously a legend, and he has a birthday over the weekend. Also, what is it? Oh, today's National Olive Day, Trey. You might be the only person, one of the few people I know that actually cares about olives.
Do you mean to tell me you don't have a Mount Rushmore of olives?
I do not. No. I do not. It'd be a Mount Rushmore nobody visits. No one would go there. My dad loves olives. My niece loves olives. It's just not my thing.
Yeah. I honestly probably don't even have four olives that I really like, but I do love a good Kalamata and a good green.
Wow. What's Kalamata? The black ones?
No. Those are nasty American olives. Kalamatas are like a purplish color.
Okay.
They taste saltier and less earthy than the black olives that you're thinking about. Although they sometimes do get called black olives, they're not. They're Kalamatas. Get it right, restaurant.
Yeah, darn right. Yeah, I can do a black olive on a pizza if I absolutely have to, but I'd rather not do the green. For some reason, the green doesn't always taste good.
Oh, wow. See, I'm the opposite.
You're the opposite way?
Keep those black olives the heck
away from me. Keep them away from me. How about a hottie with a birthday? Heidi Klum is only 48 today.
Yes.
You a Heidi Klum guy?
I mean, I was. I haven't seen her in a while, so I couldn't tell you right now, but Heidi used to be gorgeous, and it was always fascinating to me that she was married to Seal, too.
Yeah, I know. That has to be a certain level of intimidation when you're married to a woman that looks like that just every day.
Yeah.
Like every guy.
Well, and especially when you're Seal.
Exactly. Yeah, right. You've got certain things about your looks that, not that Seal's an ugly man, but you have certain things about your looks that there's a scarring that's going on. And that had to be weird. Every guy wants people to look at their woman, but I don't think we want them to look at him as much as they'd look at Heidi Klum.
Well, here's where the rock star thing comes into play. Didn't he cheat on her? Isn't that why their relationship ended?
I don't know. Maybe.
He decided to go searching elsewhere.
Yes. Yes, I think he did.
It's Morgan Freeman's birthday, Chad.
Yes, it is.
Morgan Freeman, overrated or underrated?
Or
properly rated?
I'd say properly rated.
Okay.
I'd say over the years he's become a pretty big badass, and I think he's rated properly because that voice is iconic. I think he's just right.
His best movie, well, speaking of Unforgiven is one of his best movies.
He's great. For me, it's Shawshank. But
Shawshank.
Yeah.
And then also Seven.
Oh, he is good in Seven.
Yeah.
That's a really good movie. Pitt is awesome in that movie.
Yes, he is. But yeah. Driving Miss Daisy.
Never seen it.
Didn't that get him an Academy Award nomination, if not the outright Academy Award?
It got him one or the other. It got him one or both. I can't remember. I've never seen the movie. Mm-hmm. And I love, what's her name? What's the woman? Jessica Tandy is I love her. Yeah, I need to watch that movie. I've just never done it. Happy birthday to Morgan. I first remember Morgan. Morgan Freeman was the Electric Company, I think, back in the day when I was growing up watching PBS.
Really?
I think he was on the Electric Company.
Good for him.
Yeah. Real quick, Trey, before we get done here, I'll tell you another reason why today matters. Not to me, but to you and all other Longhorn fans. Just another example of how you guys are living in the skulls of other fan bases. So over the weekend, Oklahoma State beat you guys in softball. Now, it was a little saucy in game 3. There was waving going on. I don't know if you saw any of this, but like pitcher would strike somebody out and would wave her back to the dugout.
Mm-hmm.
Then a batter would get a big hit and wave at the pitcher or the catcher. So there was a lot of that sauciness going on. But after the game, I see a clip of Oklahoma State doing a team picture. There's like, I don't know, it's a softball team. 12 of them, let's say.
Okay.
Say there's 12 to 15 people. They're all posing, and they've got a sign that says regional champions. Or excuse me, super regional champions. I mean, it's College World Series they're going to. So they've got the College World Series sign up. They're really excited. It's only their fifth or sixth or seventh time ever, whatever, to go. So they're all, and they're all holding up the guns, right? Pistol Pete, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Then all at once, somebody that's taking the pictures, I guess, says something to them, and like nine of them go upside down Longhorns.
Mm.
It was instantaneous. And I'm like, wait a minute. You just won. You're going to the College World Series. You've got your own hand sign. You're not your cousins in Norman. You have your own hand sign, yet you felt the need to do their hand sign upside down.
That's unfortunate.
That's how much you think about them and how much beating them mattered to you. Isn't that crazy?
It may also be a bit of a little brother, or I guess in this case a little sister thing, where Oklahoma does that, so it's popularized it throughout the state.
Oh, maybe that's it. Because I saw little kids there. Trey, I bet I saw this. That kid had to be eight. Eight-year-old boy.
Mm.
He didn't want to do anything more than he wanted to flash the upside-down Longhorn. Third inning, sixth inning, end of the game. He was so happy to do it. They are teaching those kids early to do that.
Well, we see that each and every year.
Wow.
On the Sooners side. So I guess it's not all that surprising it's happening on the Cowboys side.
So
now,
just so you know, y'all are living in those Oklahoma heads. Even the orange versions of those Oklahoma heads. Oklahoma State did advance to the College World Series on the women's side. They will get that one cranked up in Oklahoma City this week. Coming up next, we'll get you stems and seeds. Before we get out of here, a couple of NBA updates. Also, there's a boxing match you might be interested in August. That is, if you want to see a former UFC guy possibly beat up a social media influencer, or the other way around. I'll tell you about it on the horn.
Shirts and skins.
So baby, if you want to get low, baby, if you want to get high, it makes no sense at all. I saw red.
Trey's wrapping up the podcast mentions today. Another song with Red in it. Who's this, Trey?
This is Sublime, Chad, covering I Saw Red by Warrant. And
is
the
that
podcast,
right?
Yeah, that's right. The podcast episode is with Josh Rogan. He is the author of Chaos Under Heaven. You can check it out at booksonpod.com.
See, I heard the phrase I Saw Red, and I thought, well, why didn't he play I Saw Red by Warrant? But I never knew Sublime covered that song.
Yes, they did. And there is an instrumental cover that includes Gwen Stefani. And then there's the acoustic version, which I like a little bit more, which is what I just played.
Yeah. Not a badly written song, if you break it down. I always kind of liked I Saw Red. There's things by Warrant that are useless, but
yeah, because I don't like Warrant normally, but that song's okay.
I always like it because, yeah, there's a universality to that song of walking in on the person that you love, that you think loves you, in bed with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a pretty decent one. It got kind of lost in their catalog for a couple other songs, sort of ended up burying that one a little bit.
Was Warrant Cherry Pie?
Oh, yeah, they were. Yeah, that was the beginning of the end right there. That's the one they said they wish they'd never written, or at least the lead singer said.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the now late lead singer said he wished he'd never written it. Yeah, that was easily their biggest hit, and their shark jumping moment was just, had to be Cherry Pie. All right, so definitely check out booksonpod.com for all the great conversations that Trey has for you. We hope we've had some good conversations for you today. Longhorns getting ready for the baseball tournament, number 2 overall seed. We haven't mentioned softball much today, but certainly a good season for Longhorn softball, but didn't end where they want it to. They always want to end up in Oklahoma City. Oklahoma State was a little bit better than they were over 3 games. I believe they lost 6 out of 7 this year to Oklahoma State. They just weren't quite on their level, and now it will be other teams headed to Oklahoma City. Look for Oklahoma to dominate again. They put 20-something runs on someone over the weekend.
That's silly.
In the Super Regionals.
Super Regional.
It was crazy. That's got to be your favorite going to Oklahoma City. So if you're into softball, this is the College World Series week And we also mentioned Texas rowing got their first national title ever.
So I watched about three innings of the Texas-Oklahoma State game on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, do they bunt a lot in that sport. In situations that don't necessarily call for a bunt either.
There's bunting, a lot of slap hitting. When you go,
yeah.
When you go small ball there, there's a lot more slap hitting than you see in baseball.
Did feel a little bit Ichiro at times. You're right about that, yeah. Where they're running out of the box as they're taking a cut.
And I'm telling you what, in that sport, when you make the pitcher field their position, if you can bunt one right and make the pitcher come field her position, she has to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. When you field and throw to first in that sport, you have to be perfect. There's no hitching. There's no regather. I mean, you got to go right now.
Oh, just a hit to the shortstop. Like at one point, the commentators on the broadcast are like, oh, the shortstop threw it off of her back foot. And it's like she didn't have any choice.
Yeah, right.
She beat the runner by a quarter step.
It's too quick, man. It's unbelievable. All right, so we got all that on the board. Why don't we get into stems and seeds? I got it. We got a couple other things for you. Here we go.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. All right, here we go. It's another Paul brother versus a fighter fight. Jake Paul, the social media influencer, is going to take on Tyron Woodley, former UFC fighter, former UFC champion. Tyron is 39. Jake Paul is 24. Trey, they fight August 28th on Showtime pay-per-view. At 190 pounds, are you interested to see which way this one goes? Would you pay a little cash to see what happens?
Nope. I'll watch the knockout highlight, though, Chad.
Okay. Is there a knockout highlight is going to be the question.
Maybe.
So Woodley used to be, again, a champion. He defended like four different times. He's known as a striker. This isn't some wrestling guy that can't punch. And Jake Paul's going to get in there with him after beating Ben Askren. Tyron Woodley was in the corner that night of Askren. He's a buddy of his. He's a workout partner of his or whatever. But Woodley's a different level. It's just that he's 39 now.
Mm.
This is sort of those same discussions of people that want to fight Floyd Mayweather now.
Now, is Jake Paul like his brother in that he's got crazy knockout power?
I mean, he is the one that knocked out Askren in 2 minutes, 2:15.
Wait, which is the one that's fighting Floyd Mayweather?
That's Logan Paul.
Logan Paul.
Correct.
So he's not as likely to knock somebody out, Logan Paul?
I think that's true.
Okay.
I'll be honest, I haven't done all my Paul brothers research for these fights.
Whichever Paul brothers has the big right hand, yeah. That's the one I'd be more interested in watching.
I think that's
for very bloodlust reasons.
Right, I think that's who this is and going up against Tyron Woodley. So you either get to see the UFC fighter shut up, or former UFC fighter shut up, or you get to see Jake Paul forced to shut up on Showtime pay-per-view. August 28th. Might be interested in that one.
Okay. Hey, we have an update from Ben Roethlisberger, who, of course, has already announced that he is coming back for the 2021 season.
Yeah.
He held his first media session, I guess, and it wasn't really even a session. He may have just spoken with the NFL Network, where they asked him why he was so quick to tell the Steelers that he wanted to come back this offseason, because he's dragged his feet a little bit these last few offseasons, wondering what the future held in the Steel City. His response, if they wanted me back, I felt like I could give them everything I got. He says it was his idea to take a pay cut. He felt, quote, it was necessary to do that to help the team out. So it sounds like Big Ben is all in for this upcoming season.
That's the Steeler way right there.
Sure is.
Do what's best for the team. Do what's best for the team. Quick update out of the NBA. Joel Embiid's going to have an MRI today. He tweaked that knee up yesterday. Hopefully they'll get good news there. They are the number one seed in the East. And speaking of the East, the NL East is where you find the Mets. Trey, how about this Jacob deGrom stat? His ERA is 0.71. It is the best ERA this late into a baseball season since 1964.
My goodness. So they actually winning some of his starts this year, too, hopefully?
And they are doing a little bit better. Last time I checked the standings, they were first place.
Okay.
So it's not like the Mets are wasting those opportunities. 0.71. And I watched some of his start over the weekend. Oh, my God. This dude, the movement, the creativity of the pitches, but that he can also just blast 101 pretty much whenever he wants to. It's terrifying.
He is earning the label of video game stats guy right now with a .71 ERA.
Absolutely crazy. If you get a chance to watch DeGrom pitch, definitely do that. Tonight in the NBA, Boston and Brooklyn is a 6:30 start on TNT. Portland and Denver will go on NBA Network. That's at 8. They're at 2-all. 2-all for Phoenix and the Lakers. That's TNT at 9. The question mark there is Anthony Davis. That groin injury when he went to the floor and grabbed the inside of his leg, you knew what it was right away. He's going to try to go maybe tonight. We'll see how that goes. 2-all series with those two, and then the 3-1 series where Durant and Brooklyn are trying to close the door on Boston. Let's hope the fans are nice in all three locations tonight in the NBA. All right, triple option coming up, and then since it's Tuesday, how about the Longhorn Blitz podcast at 7 with Jeff and Rod and Matt. Have a great afternoon. Stay safe and dry because there may be more rain coming, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya!